Welcome to the SearchStorageChannel.com podcast on information lifecycle management. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Features Editor, and my guest today is Paul Franco, Executive Vice President at Zeba's Data Management in New York. Thanks for being with us, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome. It's not a problem.
Today we are going to chat about ILM and the channel opportunities that it presents. Now, Paul, what exactly is ILM?
ILM is information lifecycle management, and where that plays in is information itself has its own life cycle. It can go from one place in the organization. At one time, it might have a certain value, and at a later date and time, it might have a different value. There's different business values placed on different data, whether it be email or database data and so on. So it's really determining what value that data information has within the organization. There's differences of trade-off of performance versus how long that data needs to be stored. You know, it could be that data, once it reaches 90 days old and it hasn't been accessed in 90 days, then really there's no need to have it on very expensive production storage systems. Basically, it's whatever you need to access quickly and efficiently, and you would have it closest to you, which is performance, if you're relating it to storage or something. And the things that are really not accessed that often should not be as close to you.
Can you give a brief history of ILM, and why was it deemed difficult early on?
Traditionally, disk systems and so on were, and just technology from a storage standpoint early on, was a bit more simplistic. You know, there was certain disk drives that were used for production. You didn't have the ability where, you know, there was less expensive disk storage that was available. The cheaper cost for storing data was tape. So it was either, you know, you had production disk or you had tape that may be used for your archives. Over time, you know, the cost of disk and different types of disk have entered into the market, which opens up the flexibility for organizations. The other is, you know, the tools that are available today to move data. I mean, that's a very big piece of it, because in the early days, if you wanted to archive that data, other than doing backups to tape and things like that, you would actually have to physically find and determine what that data is and where it is and physically move it or write some rigid scripts in order to do that work for you. The tools were not available at that time. So it was really a manual process. And also, there was no integration with different applications like there is today. A lot of the software that's available today allows for integrating with, you know, key applications, which most people use today, like Exchange Email. As the applications have needs and these back-end storage has come into its own as far as from a disk perspective where cost allows it, it actually had changed the whole landscape. It's really no longer just about effective storage utilization. There's definitely strategic business practices that are placed around information lifecycle management.
Now, why is there this evolving trend of necessity when it comes to ILM? You know, what do you think has changed about the industries that makes it such a requirement?
The need for data and information, obviously, you know, with the internet and so on and so forth, really has driven the whole industry into a, you know, where more information is needed. The growth of data has increased tremendously, and also even in small businesses today, it's not just enterprise businesses, where data availability is needed 24/7 in small and medium-sized businesses. And even for those small businesses, now they need to have production storage with very high performance. They can't absorb all those different costs, so they have to utilize some of the lower cost storage and tier their storage accordingly, because there's just so much of the amount of information. So it really justifies, if I need high performance, I need to keep my information that needs to be accessed most frequently and which is most critical to my business, that needs to be on my fiber production SAN storage system arrays. As that data, if it hasn't been accessed in, let's say, 90 days, it really doesn't need to be there. And in fact, it will impact the performance of the applications that do need the high performance. So that data at that point should be an auto-migration process where it moves to a second tier of storage, possibly called SATA, which is serial ATA disk drives, which operate at a lower speed, low performance. But if somebody did access it, even though it hadn't been accessed in 90 days, if they do go to access it, instead of being there instantaneously, it might take a second or two to get to that information. The regulations are really another thing that's driving the industry. With the Sarbanes-Oxley financial sector, you know, there's certain regulations now as far as how long data needs to be retained. The violations that can be imposed on a company when the government will, or the SEC will come in and step in and try to do an audit, if you don't have that information and you can't retrieve that information that they're looking for, any interaction within your organization in email or files and so on that happened within a time period, if you don't provide that information to the auditing body in a reasonable time frame, you will begin to receive millions of dollars of fines per day if you don't have that information in the time period that they requested. Also, another thing that's been driving it as well is the more data you have, the more data that needs to be backed up. Big problem that's happening today is trying to back up all that data in the amount of time that you have to back up that data. With businesses being like 24/7 operations, you have less time to back up the data, but you have more data to back up. So if all your data in your production environment and you're backing up that data over and over again, every, you know, once a week you're doing full backups, maybe incremental backups during the week, your timeline, let's say you maybe have 12 hours at most in a day to do your backups, now you're exceeding those backup windows and it's starting to affect users in the environment during regular daytime hours. What has to happen is, rather than increasing the speed of how I do backups as far as how long it takes, let's reduce the amount of data that I need to back up. And the way to do that is let's auto-migrate that to an active archive, which, you know, there's no sense in backing up that data every single day or every week if it hasn't changed in 90 days.
Now, is ILM worth the cost?
That really depends on individual businesses. Each business, its data is valued differently, and the different types of data they have is going to have a certain home where it needs to be at a different time. So really, it comes down to this when you're evaluating costs is by doing an assessment, whereas Zebra's data manager, we do assessments on a regular basis for customers, and in doing so, we determine which performance is needed for different data within the environment. We look at the backup windows as far as the searchability of the data to retrieve it. We look at the size of files, so if files are over a certain size, that they should be automatically archived because they're taking up too much space in the production environment. We look at the last time they were accessed, look at how old the file is itself. We also look to see if how many duplicate instances there are of a file, or let's say an environment where an email is sent out to 1,000 users as an attachment. So that attachment does not need to be stored 1,000 times. So it really depends on the policies and the business of an organization. And the assessment that we do will also, as an end result, will determine the return on investment and the total cost of ownership to actually determine for a customer whether it makes sense to actually take advantage of which different types of ILM strategies within the organization to see, you know, where it makes sense. It really outweighs whether it's cost versus business justification.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between ILM and DLM?
ILM is somewhat of a misnomer. Information lifecycle management versus data lifecycle management. Information lifecycle management is really application-centric. So the information is really dependent on the application. The information is relevant to the application and the users and how they use it. With DLM, it's really is the infrastructure that supports the ILM. ILM requires a very structured data management system in order to be effective. So applications leverage information, storage systems store data.
What are the channel opportunities involving ILM? You know, can it be profitable for a reseller to sell ILM? And what would the channel partner need to know before they get into this industry?
For example, we do information lifecycle management for our customers. And really, what it takes from a channel partner perspective is they really need to know their customer's business. And these are the things you need to know beforehand. When you evaluate your customer's business, you have to determine different things like, you know, what kind of retention policies there are for different data. Then you also have to look at the disposition. You know, what happens when this information has reached the end of its life cycle? What do we do with it? Do we shred it? The other is archival period. You know, how long should it be here at this stage? So these are different policies that actually get set. What kind of read-write permissions are going to be on the data? So, you know, who can access that information? Those are other things and policies that need to be considered. And then, you know, there's the different security issues of that information as it travels throughout its life cycle. You know, at one point, it might be need to be much more secure than at the other end. So there's many different aspects from a business perspective where a channel partner really needs to know the customer business and how the storage systems that are going to store that data, how they're going to relate to that customer's business. The assessments go into a lot of detail and can give a real good picture window into a customer's environment. You know, once they're looking at their data and they know this data is how old and how when it was last accessed, that picture into the environment is very useful to present to the customer and at the IT level, which then they can present to the management level so that those decisions can be made much easier, and it helps us determine, and like ZBiz does, they put together total cost of ownership and whether it makes sense. The other thing is really knowledge of the back-end storage systems, where the data will be stored at its different tiers. You really would need to understand fiber channel SANs, which is storage area networks, or file data, maybe NAS systems. So you have to understand the underlying storage systems themselves and the different performance levels. You also have to understand the backup infrastructure of the customer and what kind of software they're using for their backups. How will the archival software integrate with my backups and with my production environment? And lastly, I would say the ability to be able to integrate various different vendors. When you get into information lifecycle management, there's just no one who has just from end to end one vendor that's going to have all the tools you need. So there will be various vendors involved, and you know the professional services are very important to be able to integrate these different vendor products to get the right solution, and that is important for customers today.
Thank you very much for your time, Paul. It's been great having you.
Thank you very much. I think it's important for people to understand really how information lives today.
Absolutely. This is Elaine Hahn with SearchStorageChannel.com. You are just listening to Paul Franco, Executive Vice President at ZBiz Data Management in New York. Thanks for tuning in.